Hello, and welcome back to my channel. This is part 7 of The Hunt for the Beast and His Elusive Mark. Well, as you have seen in the last episode, the beast and the mark have been well identified, as well as which side you are standing on. And this is a critical distinction. It's something that we all need to know, what side we're standing on. And so we're opening up with a new chapter in Revelation, Revelation 14. And in this chapter, there are three warnings. And these are the final warnings that this planet is to receive. And so let's dive in and let's see what we can learn about this. In Revelation 14, 1, it says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb," speaking of Christ, "stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads." Okay, having our Heavenly Father's name written in our foreheads is a reference to Jeremiah 31 through 34, the theme of which is repeated in Paul's writings in the book of Hebrews, which states, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more." That's Hebrews 8, 10 through 12. Having our Father's name written on our foreheads means we are like him in character. You can see this in Ephesians 2, 8. "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained," or hath before ordained, "that we should walk in them." Okay, now, it's interesting that here is a promise from God. He said, "I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." So the obvious question is, with all the Protestant so-called Christian denominations out there that are saying the law of God's been done away with, why does he want to write it in our hearts? Ponder that one for a while. Anyway, in Revelation 14:2, it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters," and we refer you to Revelation 17:15, and this is a key, so write it down. It tells you what the waters is talking about. "And as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, the song of redemption from the power of sin, Satan, and death. And before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." Okay, think about going back to the story of Christ when he crossed the sea and he was met on the shore with those guys that were possessed of devils. They were just demonics. So they were nuts and very scary. His disciples turned around and took off running, and Jesus delivered the man from these demons, and these men were so grateful they wanted to go with Jesus. And what did Jesus say? He said, "No." He says, "Go back to your homes and families and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you." Well, you know, this is part of the element of this new song. It's a song of our experience, and we will be telling the great things that God has done for us. So in verse 4, these are they which are not defiled with women. Okay, we got to pause here for a minute and look at this statement there, because there are some that read this and get kooky ideas, such as having to leave their wives so that they are not defiled, or that if they are virgins, they are one of the 144,000. Now, it is true that God wants us to be circumspect in our relationships with others, but that is not what this verse is talking about in the primary sense. It is talking about the false teachings or false doctrines and practices of the various churches or women. And to get this in perspective and nail it down is a key. Jeremiah 6:2 says, I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. Okay, so in prophecy, God's church or people are symbolized as a pure woman, for they are virgins, verses 14:4. Their knowledge of God and his truth is pure, straight from God's word, and not a hint of man's devising, and the life they live is a reflection of this knowledge. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They obey Christ in all things. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. You can read about first fruits in Leviticus 23 if you want to learn more about that. Now, the women mentioned in the following texts are not God's people, though they are contrasted with the characteristics of God's people. You can read more about them in Revelation. Okay, Revelation 17:5, for example, and upon her head was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. These women have the same whore's heart as their mother, because they came from her. But who is this mother of harlots? Okay, we've already studied this out in our previous lessons. We identified the beast, and we also have determined what her mark is. So in Revelation, there are two women. There's the pure woman, as mentioned in Revelation chapter 12, and then there is this harlot in Revelation 17. So moving on to Revelation 14:5, says, and in their mouth, referring back to God's people, was no guile or falsehood, for they are without fault before the throne of God. In other words, they are blameless, purified by the working of his grace upon the heart. Verse 6, it says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. So this is the beginning of the last warnings. There's three angels that are going to give warnings, and these are the last ones that the earth is to receive, because after this will be the close of probation. And after the close of probation, which will not have any particular announcement indicating that it is closed, you will start to receive the seven last plagues. Jesus will have stood up from his service in the heavenly sanctuary, where he has been officiating as our high priest. No more will there be any sins confessed. No more will there be any prayers for forgiveness. The intercession will be done, and the announcement will be made. Those who are unrighteous, let them be unrighteous still. Those who are filthy, let them be filthy still. Those who are holy, let them be holy still. And those who are righteous, let them be righteous still. So that's a pretty definite thing there. Your characters are fixed. There's no more grace. There's no more Holy Spirit offered you to help you change. And when Christ comes again, you will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming if you have chosen to remain in the camp of the wicked. And so that's a serious matter to consider. Okay, we're down in verse 7. It says, saying with a loud voice, fear God. Now, fearing God is about obedience and having a deep sense of awe and reverence for our Heavenly Father. And it says, and give glory to him. You know, we give glory to God by having his character revealed in us. And that can only be done by his grace. Like Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory, being changed by his grace to be like our Heavenly Father, honors him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 1 John 3:2-3. Now, you don't hear this being preached in churches out there today. They're so busy preaching that the law's been done away with, that once you're saved, you're saved, and that you don't have to worry about doing anything. Well, I tell you, the verse I just read was written down by the Apostle John, and if you recall, John was very close to Jesus. Moving on in Revelation 14, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. So prepare for the judgment and a call to worship one who made. In other words, worship our Creator. This is a message right out of the fourth commandment, which starts with remember, and points to the fact that the Sabbath was never changed and is a sign of who it is that we worship, God the Creator. So going on to 14:8 in Revelation, it says, and there were followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. So who is Babylon? You know, we already talked about that. This beast power, because she made or compelled by force obedience. All nations drink the wine. Now, what is the wine? Yeah, wine is symbolic of false doctrine. This intoxicating drink makes one confused and impairs their judgment. You can read more about this in Isaiah 29:9-13. Of the wrath of her fornication. Well, what's fornication? We're learning several different symbolic usages here. Well, the fornication is the illicit union, a union of church and state characterized by idolatry. And you can read more about this in Hosea 4:12 and Ezekiel 29:15-25. Okay, Revelation 14:9, it says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Now here we have more Old Testament language. We can learn about this in Deuteronomy 6:4-9. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. There's that mark on the hand. and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. There's the mark on the forehead. It's what you think and what you do. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. The sign in our hand, as I have said, represents what we do, and the frontlets between our eyes represent our thoughts, what we think, what we love, what our goals are, those kinds of things. Now in 14:10 it says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. No mercy mingled with this mixture, or with this wine, into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. They have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image. In Scripture, rest means the cessation of work, peace, or Sabbath. If these that have the wrong mark are worshiping on the papal idol Sabbath, referring to Sunday, then yes, they have no rest or Sabbath day nor night, because they are violating that holy precept which says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thine work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That's Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. And the smoke of their torment during the destruction of this earth is a vividly portrayed scene of what sin and rebellion has caused. This is especially a consequence of the behavior of mankind in these last days, in worshiping someone or some thing other than God and trying to compel all the world to follow their example. See what Jeremiah has to say. This is from Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 30 through 33. The Lord shall roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Now, many who think they are Christians will be heard to say, Lord, Lord, haven't we? These have been deceived and have accepted the system of false worship that will be forced upon the world. It may look very Christian in appearance, but under the facade is a base counterfeit. Now, when you read in Matthew chapter 7 these remarks of these people, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this in thy name, and haven't we done that in thy name? basically what they are saying to the God of heaven is, Lord, you owe us. After all we've done for you, you owe us. That's basically what they're saying. They have no humility. They have no humbleness of heart. It's sickening. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Those who obey God and have the same faith Jesus had while living on this earth. Absolute trust in our Heavenly Father obtained by His grace. Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So there will be many martyrs who will die for their faith. There will be people who are just naturally laid to rest through process of time. But God remembers them. Their names are entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. 14, verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud sat one like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. The judgment ended, every case decided. It is time to gather God's true followers home. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Okay, now we got to look at this for a minute here. This chapter is describing the end of the world. It's describing the separation of the just from the unjust. And it is also describing what is going to end up being the second coming of Christ. And so as we proceed, let's realize that this is the end time. All decisions have been made at this point. Okay? So in verse 20 it says, And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Jesus said that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Matthew 24:22. Something very terrible is about to happen on this earth, a destruction like we have never seen. But true Christians need not fear. And as I said already once or twice before, by this time, if you have followed all the previous episodes, you know what side you are standing on. It's time to make the right choice. Goes on to say, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust? Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror that terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. In other words, all God's ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon thee, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now that's Psalms 91, and I would recommend that you commit this one to memory, because it is a promise that will get you through this time of trouble that is coming. At the harvest of the earth, the tares are gathered to be burned, and the righteous wheat are gathered unto God. There will be no opportunity to repent at this time. It will be forever too late. So make your choices now. May God bless you as you study his word, and as you seek the truth, may you find it. Amen.